You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you so much. It's great to gather to worship God together, lift our hearts to God together. As a congregation, so great to see everybody. Middle of summer. I know school's starting in a couple weeks for some of the students, and I know our college students will be back from the ICMC, and I know our Pepperdine students will be in school later this month. A lot of exciting things going on. We're going to get a lot of incoming freshmen, by the way, church, so be ready for that. We'll be sharing more about that in the days to come. Want to give you an update on our trip. Carrie and I had the privilege of going to the country of Lebanon, to the city of Beirut, where we have supported the building of our churches. Lebanon's the hub for many churches that are going on throughout the Middle East. And they hosted the 30-year celebration of the starting of that church this summer, as well as the inauguration and launch of a new building that they now, our churches now own over there, which is incredible because it gives you legitimacy in really a country that's very difficult to remain as Christian groups there. There's a lot of pushback. So it's a total victory. So here's the couple in Lebanon, Jesse and Mufid, that came and spoke. You guys, many of you have met them. Many of you have gone to Lebanon, hung out with them. They're an incredible couple, been living there. They were members of the church back in the 90s and just have built that church. It's an incredible couple, and we're so grateful for all they do. Now, I want to give you a little idea. Right there in this picture, you see a sort of dilapidated old building that looks, no windows in it, no lights. And then right below it, you see a nice looking hotel. That's one of the most expensive hotels, the one with the lights on. And the one behind it is the Holiday Inn in downtown Beirut that used to be where all the dignitaries, it was the nicest hotel in Lebanon until the Civil War was going on. And it got attacked and bombed. And then they decided, Holiday Inn pulled out. So that gives you a little picture of what is going on in that country. In 2019, their banking system collapsed. And then that same year, you might have heard about it, or in 2020 actually, the country experienced the worst explosion in the history of humanity outside of war, when this fertilizer that was being used for explosive that got left in the port just blew up. So here we are, and right behind us is the area that blew up. I know it's tough to see, but you can go online and see how the explosion just decimated the area. It's a beautiful area. It's sort of like an area like Marina del Rey getting blown up because of the negligence of the country. And Carrie's going to share a little bit more about this.
Yeah, it was an incredible opportunity to be there. Because it was their 30th anniversary, they entitled the whole time Living Stones. And they took that from the passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. And I want to read it to you because this scripture really does communicate the hearts of the disciples there. It says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, and precious to him. You also are like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And it is an incredible depiction of the hearts of the disciples in the Beirut, Lebanon church. From the minute we got there, I could not tell you how you could see the Holy Spirit working in their hearts and in their lives. This couple on the screen, George and Rita, they've been faithful disciples for 20 plus years in that church. And they serve and lead the Only Hope chapter in the entire Middle East. And Rita specifically, when the banking system collapsed, and here's the thing, when you hear that, you go, oh, it just fell apart. No, there were wealthy politicians that took every cent from the bank. So this couple, she worked for the government. She worked specifically with the Department of Education. And she went from making $2,000 a month to $30 a month. Could you imagine how that would completely disrupt your life? But this is their reality all the time. Now she's proud to say that she brings home $280 a month, and they are making it. How, I don't know. But you would never know based on their their hearts to serve and to give. Every disciple that gave us a ride somewhere, we're like hiding money for their gas, like, because they wouldn't take it from us. We kept going, let us, because we have it. We can give it to you. Please let us. They're like, no, it is my pleasure and my joy to serve you. And that was the hearts that we saw. And I desperately, so many times, wanted, I was like, if only the whole entire Westside Church could come to Lebanon and see and be with the disciples, your faith would soar. And so it just really is a testimony to your sacrifice in helping them be able to preach the gospel unhindered is incredible. And so they thank you. They are so grateful for all of you. And honestly, they were so shocked that we as Americans would go to their country at this time. And that was like surprising to me. I'm like, really? You didn't think we'd come? And they're like, no. I mean, you know what's going on in the world. But in all sincerity, like, there's always the same level of concern going there. No, 10 years ago when I went, the government still had the same level of security. So I was like, we're going. There's really nothing to fear. It is a beautiful country that has been devastated in so many ways. So if you have a chance to go, I highly encourage you to go, because you will be transformed by the hearts of the disciples.
Awesome. Let me give you a few more updates on what was going on when we were there. Carrie and I were both impacted by the hearts of the disciples. So many of the people, a couple weeks ago, I did a sermon on Are You on the Mission? And I showed all the pictures of all the baptisms that have been happening. And what was so cool is when we arrived, all the people I showed pictures of that had just gotten baptized in the last 6 months, I started meeting all of them, all these new disciples. Incredible. So many young people, people from all different walks of life. I met this guy, Badi, who is a Badia. He is a 40-year-old single father of three, who is also a contractor. So he's helping them build the building, overseeing the work of the building that the church now has, which is incredible. This guy here, Saeed, he's also an electrical contractor that's outside the building, and he's like a lighting guy, and he wanted to show me all the lights that they're working on. It's incredible, the thing that they're doing there. I'll show you a quick picture of the building in a second. I had shared before about this couple that had become disciples, and their mission was to reach out to people from an Islamic background, which is actually, in Lebanon, slightly possible. In other countries, you can't do it publicly. It's illegal. In this country, there's ways to do it, but it's still dangerous. One couple, the man, had been attacked by a guy with a knife, and we met that couple at one of the conferencing events. This is them right there. Just love these guys. They're like, became disciples in the last couple of years. And like, we know the whole world needs to know about Jesus, and it doesn't matter who they are or where they're from. So be praying for them. Here's the building on the opening service. This is a picture of when they're appointing two new evangelists and women's ministry leaders, Ala and Daniela and Shadi and Luna. These are the two younger couples that are going to be eventual leaders of Lebanon and the church in Jordan. So awesome. It's on Disciples Today. Good news for that. It's just incredible. They're seeing people being raised up in this difficult place. Here's a little video of the first church service. Or maybe it's the next one. Here we go. Here we go. See, Andy and Tammy were there. All right, so you see, it was just cool. It was cool being there. Marshall and Sean were there as well because they helped plant the church. They're the leaders of the church in Orlando. At the end of the conference, the best news was all the delegates and all the people that were there from the United States and even people from the Middle East, we stayed in this hotel that had just been built, and the owner of the hotel had allowed the church to use the lobby of his hotel for their Deep Roots class, which basically is teaching the foundations of the faith principles, the first principles that we teach everybody in our churches, and they call it Deep Roots in the Middle East. So the owner was listening to these classes for a couple months, got into the Bible on his own, began studying with Jesse Mufid, and when Andy and Tammy came, who a lot of people in our church know who they were, they helped study with them a little bit, and then Alfred, on the Sunday after church, he got baptized in his own pool in the hotel. So he's your brother in Christ, he's a disciple of Jesus in Lebanon. Now, since that time, there were all kinds of challenges. Before we went, the news from the embassy was, you shouldn't travel to Lebanon. Now the news is, don't go to Lebanon. Bombs, in fact, last night, bombs were sent from Lebanon to Israel because earlier in the week, Lebanon had bombed Israel had bombed part of Beirut. In fact, a couple miles from where we were staying, they blew up a building where the leader of one of those political factions was, and there's a lot of unrest. In fact, most countries are stopping flights right now to Lebanon. So Carrie said, hey, go. Right now is the one time you don't want to go because a war might break out in the country. So we need to be praying for peace. There's always some kind of unrest, but it's about as difficult as it's ever been right now. Obviously, we know about the situation that's in the news all the time about Israel and Hamas. Now it's Israel and Hezbollah, and Hezbollah is in Lebanon, and it just creates unrest and difficulty. Of course, I got a message from Mufid, pray for us, but they're still having church, they're still celebrating, they're still making disciples, and they're doing what they need to do in the middle of the trouble. Amen? Amen, guys. Let's go to God in prayer right now and just pray for God to bless that. And thank you for your sacrifice of our special. We're going to give that through the month of August. But it's just incredible the work that is being done all over the world through the efforts and sacrifice that you make. Amen. Let's pray right now and then we'll begin our sermon. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time to study your word and to reflect on the things you're doing around the world. Father, thank you for the souls being saved in Lebanon. Thank you for the privilege to be a part of that. I pray, God, you will bless your word going out. We pray, God, that you'll bless the opportunity for your word to go out by creating peace. We ask for peace in these areas that seems like no peace is possible. Father, we know you're able to do more than we ask or imagine. We know that you tell us, do not let our hearts be troubled. And Father, I pray that you will really work in our lives so that we wouldn't let our hearts be troubled. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Title of the lesson today is Do Not Let Your Hearts Be Troubled. And that comes from John chapter 1. And also later in John chapter 1, it says, Do not let your hearts be troubled. Now, the reality is there is trouble in the world. But what Jesus is saying is don't let your heart be troubled. And he says, why? Because you got to trust in God, trust also in me. I'm going to my Father. I'm preparing a place for you. So he says, there's an eternal hope for you. But that's not the only reason he says not to let your hearts be troubled. We all know there is trouble in the world, right? There's difficulty everywhere you go. Each of us lives in a safe country right here in America, but that doesn't mean there's not trouble in our lives. We're in an election year. It's a painful time in our country. You know, both political parties say, you know, we better win or it's the end of America. I put before you, the salvation of souls is what's going to bring peace and healing and unity. Jesus and his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are the answer to the trouble of this world. So I want to put before you, don't fixate on all the stuff going on around us. Fixate on Jesus, right? Fix your eyes on the author of life, the author and perfecter of our faith. What's our theme for 2024? Focus on Jesus. And I want to read this passage together with you from John chapter 14, where not only did he talk in the first part about, you know, do not let your hearts be troubled, trust in me because of eternal hope, but he gives us a practical hope as well. And we're going to see that as we study. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit. Let's read here in verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. He's talking about, he's going to the cross. He's going to die and resurrect though. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, the other Judas, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and we will make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled, church. Again, he's not saying you won't have trouble. We read in John chapter 16, he says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We can have peace in the middle of turmoil, in the middle of a polarized country, in the middle of a war-torn country. Our disciples have peace in their heart. When the economic situation collapses, they can have peace because their life is about love. So I want to dig into the scripture a little bit. And we read in that first part where he says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And then he goes on and we see also, he says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. All right, and I highlight here advocate because I want you to see the word advocate actually is the word parakletos in Greek, and it meant someone to come alongside you, an intercessor, a consoler, an advocate, a comforter. Jesus himself was the advocate. You can see in the text right there, if you notice there, he says, look what he says in verse 17 about the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. He's talking to his apostles, for he lives with you and will be in you. So you're getting a little Trinity teaching right there as well. He's talking about, I'm not going to be here forever, but the Holy Spirit will be sent. I'm your advocate, but you're going to have another advocate that will be with you forever. You know him. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? It's the Spirit. It's Jesus. It's the Trinity. It's the idea that God with us through the Holy Spirit. He says, you know him. He's, you know, for he lives with you. I think he's talking about himself and will be in you. He's talking about his presence, his Spirit. When he ascends to heaven, the Holy Spirit gets sent out and is inside all of the apostles and all Christians for humanity. So the parakletos is really important for us to understand because we all need an advocate, don't we? I don't know about you, but when I'm falsely accused, I want somebody on my side. And when I blow it and it's my fault and I really wrecked things or I've made a mess of myself or my life or my circumstances, I also need somebody on my side to pick me up, right? To say, okay, Steve, it's going to be okay. Things are going to be fine. We need advocates in our life. And Jesus is the ultimate advocate. And he says, I'm going to send you the Spirit. I'm going to ask him. He's going to send it so that we today in this room get to have the same advocate in our life, right? Well, what does he do for us? Well, it's the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the advocate, is the parakletos. He helps us. We all need helpers. Whether we caused the problem or it came upon us outside our control. He'll be with us forever, it says. That's incredible, right? There's this eternity part of it. He lives with you. You know, interestingly, the Holy Spirit is upon the earth. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Trinity. I want to give you a little teaching about that. But he gets to be inside us when we make the decision to follow Jesus. Says he will be in you. He's talking to them and he breathed on them and they were following him. So they got the Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we get the message, hey, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And you get to have forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's for all people. What does this Spirit do? Now I want you to recognize, what does this advocate do? Well, it says teaches all things. Wow, right? He's teaching us all things. We read later in the text. And he reminds us of Jesus' words. And I believe that the advocate, the Holy Spirit, saw to it that we have the Bible now as the number one published book in human history in more languages than any book in human history. The Holy Spirit saw to it, right? The advocate, I want to help you guys out. I'm going to make sure all humans have access to this eternal truth. And it's available to us, right? We got to be reading our Bibles. The word of the Lord changes lives. It's the word that changes lives, not really us, guys. We can live it out and pass along some love and soften hearts and share our own struggles to help relate. But we need the word of God. I hope when we gather together, the word of God is being read and being shared and being talked about. It's the word that changes us. And the Holy Spirit wrote the word, right? Through the different apostles who wrote and different writers of the New and Old Testaments. God is working. As we go on in the text, I want to highlight this. He talks about, he says, on that day when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. So this is the idea of the Trinity. This concept is hard for people to wrap their mind around. It took hundreds of years of some of the most intelligent and spiritual people ever to come up with this, even the word Trinity, and try to describe it. I had this vision of a Trinity, what that really meant. I couldn't comprehend. Well, how could this be? Who do I pray to? Am I praying to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father? How does that work? And I had this epiphany that really, really, what it is God the Father, it says, is invisible in a sense. Like, he's the creator of all things, right? And his being is above and beyond and over. It's like a big cloud of power and love. He's real. He's our Father. He decided to send his son, Jesus, who is completely connected. It's like the piece of that cloud became a human, right? Jesus showing up on earth. So Jesus is a human, has his own will, his own mind, but he's completely connected to that cloud of power. And then when he ascends into heaven, he pours out that Holy Spirit, which is him, it's nature, but he's not walking around physically, so we can have a piece of it. So I was like, I got to get an image of this. So I was like, hey, let me pull up the new ChatGPT and see if they can make an image of this. And I tried to describe what I just described to you guys like 20 times. This is what it came up with. The Trinity. All right. So you kind of have the God, the angel, you know, it's the power somehow around the earth. And then the power of God is inside Jesus when he was on earth. And then his spirit's there. I don't know if that totally describes it. Maybe the wise sages, theologians, and some of the wisest biblical writers came up with this idea of the perichoresis, which means the divine dance, which is this idea that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit submit to one another, but all have authority over one another. There's complete unity. There's this divine connection that we get to participate in. The Father sent the Son. The Son sent the Spirit. The Spirit gets to be in us, and guess what he's doing to us? He's sending us. We get to participate in the Creator, in the creation of all things, in the changing of eternal lives. The Trinity's deep, and we read a lot about this, and God said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not leaving you alone. I want you to understand this. We got to be listening to our advocate. He's going to guide you into all things. He can teach you how to solve marriage problems if you listen to the word and humble yourself and calm your spirit. He can get you through emotional challenges. He can get you through financial hardships. He can get you through all kinds of things. In fact, all things, if you'll trust him and listen, which means you do need to read the scriptures. All right. We got to be in the word, church, in the word morning after morning, in the word evening after evening. The answers are there. The Holy Spirit's working, but he doesn't just always, you know, tell you the answer out of the thin air. A lot of times it's coming from your study of the word of God. Now, I do believe the Holy Spirit then reminds you of verses. He reminds you of somebody who told you verses. He will put people in your life to help you understand how to get through the challenge that you're in. But are you listening to your advocate? You have an advocate. He's on your side. He is for you no matter what you've done. But as we read the text, he says, Lord, you know, are you only showing it to us? I mean, what do you mean? He's like, anyone, right? Jesus says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So the challenge we've got is he's saying, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Then that advocate becomes a part of our life. The challenge is, do we love God? It's not always easy to love God, is it? Sometimes life doesn't go the way we want. And we were like, well, God, you're in charge of everything. How come my life is so challenging? You can imagine the sister Carrie shared about. Such a great, faithful sister. The economy totally collapsed. She goes from making $2,000 a month, which is like middle class over there. It's probably like making, I don't know, $4,000 or $5,000 here or something like that, down to $30 a month. That was her salary. And she's been serving so faithfully that you can imagine the temptation to go, God, why? Why me? It's so tough. Now, she can tell a whole other miracle story about how she overcame infertility, and now she has two kids, and God just blessed her prayer. So that's a whole other story. But God does miracles for people, but he also allows some difficulties in our lives to test us, right? He wants to test your faith. So you will go through hard times. Count on the hard times. But you got to remember Romans chapter 8, verse 28. What does it say about love? It says, all things work together for good to those that love God. You got to nurture your love for God. It's not easy to nurture that, right? You have to nurture your love. And some, you know, there's a lot of people who are probably in your own life right now. You're like, oh, I like them. I love them, but I don't like them, right? That happens because we're people and we have these love banks. And if they don't get filled up too high, then we lose our love. Sometimes we absolutely can lose our love for God because we forget how much he's done. We forget, the scriptures teach, we love because he first loved us. And there's nowhere in the scriptures that he promised us a rich and healthy, and he says you get to have an abundant life, but doesn't mean everything goes easy. Abundance means a full life, which means ups and downs, life and death, love and lost loves. Pain comes because pain makes you live this incredible life that God has provided for all of us. Each of us needs to take a good look at how our love for God is doing at this time. And I was thinking about who do I love? Who's easy to love? So in my life, here's two people. Okay, that's my beautiful wife, and she's just easy to love, right? Why is she easy to love? She's very easy on my eyes, which makes it easy. But she's also an amazing at everything else in my life. Best friend. I have like a chef at my house. I have she's like my house cleaner. She's like, sorry, hon, I know I need to step up and take that job. I'm like rich, like rich and famous because I have her. She's just incredible woman of God. My best friend does everything, makes our house just beautiful, makes our life so fun. And we have a lot of time laughing and loving. And it's easy when somebody's like that in your life. And then I got my little grandson here. He was with us earlier this week. That's little Luca right there. We actually had him for 3 days. And a 10-month-old is, it's a little different schedule when you're in your 50s and now you got a 10-month-old. But it was really easy to love him because he would give me that little smile. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, I had to get up really early every day, but it was worth it, right? So God made us so we like really cute things. Yes, my wife's cute and my grandson's cute, and it's easy to like what's cute. God sort of made us that way. We love the things that bring us some joy. And in marriage, and even in grandparenting, there are challenges. And if I fixated on the challenges that invariably come, right? I had to change a big old diaper yesterday morning. I hadn't done that in a long time. And, guys, that's not like something we look forward to doing, right? A big, huge, poopy diaper. But I'm not even thinking about it. I shared it just as an example for you guys. I'm not fixating on that, right? Yes, Karen and I have conflicts at times. I do things that upset her, and she does things that upset me. Happens all the time. But I don't fixate on those things. We resolve them biblically. We resolve them with honesty. We resolve them with humility. And I fixate on all the good things. And all the she's an incredible, beautiful woman who loves me. And I'm filled with that love. God exceeds even that in how much he's done for each of you. Make sure you don't lose your love for God. Nurture your love for God. Nurture your gratitude. And don't lose it. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Right? If you love him, then he tells you, if you love me, you'll obey me. Well, what is the command of Jesus? Well, really to love each other as I have loved you. Guys, this is the challenge, is living a life of love. And love is very complex. It's not easy to do, church. It's multifaceted. This morning, I was talking to a brother, and it just gave me this great idea. Wow. I was like, this is great. God, thank you for this example. He was like, you know, I was trying to help somebody, and because I'm a Christian, I want to be loving. And guess what love is? It says love is kindness. We read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is kindness, right? And I have this up here. Love is kindness. Love is patient. Love is kind. He was being kind. But you know what else? Unfortunately, he was kind, and this particular person wasn't responsible with the thing that he offered him to utilize. And that then hurt his family. So he goes, oh, yeah, that hurt his family. Why? Because you didn't protect them. Guess what else love does? Love always protects. So now you're trying to love people, and you're trying to be kind to one person, but then you got to protect the other person. You need wisdom. You need an advocate. You need somebody to guide you. You need people in your life. You need to be thinking a lot about how do I love well? Church, this is the challenge for your life. What does love look like in your life for other people? You've got to ask that question, and you're going to need this advocate to help you. You're going to need the Spirit to guide you. He gives you some great guidance. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. That's part of love, right? It's kind. I mentioned that. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. You see the forgiveness in there? Yes, love involves forgiveness. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. What does love look like in your life for other people? And you're going to need some wisdom, because each person in your life needs a different component of that love. And sometimes it seems as though they don't always mesh. But God gives us somebody to help us know how to manage it. And that's the advocate. Amen. He closes out and he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. A war might break out in our churches over there. Difficulty may occur in our culture through all the polarity that exists. Your own personal life may go upside down. Things may not work out the way exactly you want. But God says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me, love me, learn what love looks like from the Holy Spirit, and let's be a church that is at peace and filled with love. Now, before we take communion, because all this comes because he was willing to die first for you, I want us to have a little discussion, all right? So we're going to have like a 3 to 4 minute discussion about this topic of the Holy Spirit, about this topic of your hearts. And here's the questions I want you to discuss. Now, I want you to talk to people to your right or your left, and I want it to be at least 3 people. Can't just be 2. So I don't want a husband and wife only talking to each other. You got to have 3 people in your group, at least 3 or 4, all right? And I want to give you a little bit of time, but here's what I want you to do. Have a discussion of how has your heart been troubled? How is your love for God? What is your advocate, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, saying to you? All right? Let's take a few minutes to have this discussion, and maybe pick one that you feel is most salient in your life, and then we'll come back and pray for the communion. Amen? Let's have a discussion. All right, let's go to God in prayer and thank him for the blood of Jesus. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time to come and reflect that you don't want our hearts to be troubled. And Jesus, we know that you gave your very life and you shed your blood, and you are our advocate on behalf of all humanity. Father, thank you so much for sending your son. Jesus, thank you so much for giving us an example of love, for loving us. Lord, we thank you for the hope of eternity. We thank you for the forgiveness we get to enjoy each day. We thank you for the life you lived. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.